Folks, we'll commence, please, by singing the hymn number 306. It would be in our hymn book. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend his cause, maintain the honour of his word, the glory of his cross. Last time I was singing this hymn was way back in 1981, in public, that is, in the streets of London. And as we were singing that hymn, the police arrested us. That's how good a singer I am. And we spent a nice week at Her Majesty's convenience in jail at that time, all because a wee man in a big white coat was visiting London, and we weren't too happy. But we were arrested, and this was the hymn. I love this hymn. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. I understand you stand for singing. Is that right? Okay, well, stand to sing, please, 306. We'll bow together, please, folks, in a word of prayer. Let's just lift our hearts to the Lord this morning. Gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, it is with thanksgiving and praise of heart that we bow at thy feet. We thank thee that through the rent veil we have access into the Father's courts. I, the holiest, with boldness now may enter in, for he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sin. Lord, we're thankful to thee for thy mercy. Truly great is thy faithfulness. And in this old world that's living in strange times, we praise thee for the anchor that we have that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. For it's fastened to the rock, and that cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. As a congregation of men and women, many of whom are redeemed by blood and saved by grace, we come to Thee, Lord, today to praise Your name, to worship You, to seek for help from heaven in these times. We need Thee, Lord, even in this meeting. The preacher, with all his weakness and infirmity, needs Thee. The congregation need an ear to hear and a heart to understand. Lord, we thank Thee for this church in Armagh. We remember the pastor and his wife and family. We think about our brother McMillan especially as he's overseas, missionary work. Lord, keep them safe, protect them and bless them, and encourage their hearts, even here in the work when he returns home. Oh, may there be a move of God in the days to come. Lord, we're still living in this old day of COVID and all kinds of problems. But may we thank Thee, there's a God in heaven and He's in charge. Governments think they're in charge, but they're not. But God's in charge. Lord, we pray that You'll overrule in all this sickness and this plague, and You'll drive it from us and cause the people to acknowledge this is the Lord's doing and it's marvelous among us. So, Father, what we pray for Armagh, for blessing, the work among the children, all the work of God, we pray this for all our congregation. May that God would send a breath of heaven. This is what we prayed for at the week of prayer just past, and we pray for that yet. That's what we were praying for the early hours of this Sabbath day. When darkness was still upon the land, Lord, we were seeking to call on Thee to move in a mighty way in this land. So we look to Thee now, Lord Jesus. O God, bless our hearts. May there be a word of encouragement, a word of strengthening, a word of help to all of us. And we pray if there's anyone among us not saved, O God, that Thou wouldst bring them to the cross, grant unto them repentance to life, and save those today for whom the Saviour died. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Another hymn, please. It's 293. 293 it would be in our book. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. Number 293, and we'll stand, please, again to sing.
Thank you.
Turning, please, in our scripture reading this morning to the Gospel according to Mark. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, breaking into the passage at verse 14, please. The 14th verse of the first chapter of Mark's Gospel. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel." Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. They went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. There was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace, and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him, and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless to our hearts today the public reading of his word for Jesus' sake. Now we're going to have, I didn't get a name for this, but we're going to have the announcements. I'll ask a brother to come, please, with the announcements. And thankfully, one is coming. Amen. Thank you.
We welcome everyone this morning to our morning service. And if you're a visitor with us, you're especially welcome. And we give you a warm welcome in the Saviour's precious name. And we give a special welcome also to our preacher this morning, the Reverend Trevor Baxter. Now, the announcements for the rest of the week. Tonight at 6 p.m., the prayer meeting in the church hall. 6:30 p.m., the evening gospel service, and the Reverend Baxter will again be the preacher. On Tuesday next at 6:45, the children's bright hours in both the church hall and the Killalea band hall. Wednesday, 3 p.m., the broadcast on Radio Star Country. At 8 p.m., the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. The meeting will be conducted by the Reverend Ray Carscadden, the minister of Corrigarry Free Presbyterian Church. Friday, 8 p.m., the Youth Fellowship. The speaker will be Matthew Muldrew. Next Lord's Day, the 16th of January, the Sunday School and Bible classes at 10:40 a.m., 11:30 a.m., the morning service, 6:30 p.m., the evening service. Preacher of both services will be the Reverend David Crane. These are all the announcements. Thank you.
I was hearing of a church within our own denomination a number of years ago when the minister was making the announcements. took 22 minutes just for the announcements. You can imagine the length of the sermon. They're probably still meeting. But anyway, I'm delighted to be with you today. I was glad of the opportunity. Mr. McMillan asked me to do this. I was glad to do it. We have been retired now for almost 8 years and been very busy with the preaching. And then, of course, with looking after Market Hill for a while as well. But I've been off for a few weeks and I had no meetings at all in January. And now, just in a moment, we have this meeting. I'm preaching next Sunday and then the Sunday after the Sunday next. So we're still busy, still thankful to God. But let me assure you of something. I'm an old man now and I'll not be keeping you here for a very long time. Mr. Cook taught me that for 4 years solid when I was a student about preaching, and I've tried to follow that. Apart from anything else, I don't know enough to keep you very long, but I hope and pray and trust that what we have to bring to you this morning will be an encouragement and a help and a challenge to your hearts. I want to turn to this passage in Mark's Gospel. Now, you'll notice it's only 10 to 12. I don't think I'll be too long till it's 20 past, but you hold on. We might get liberty, who knows? If you get freedom, you could go on. I was at your meetings in the early days of the Free Church, and it was 2 hours you could have been in. First meeting my mother went to in Ballymena, when after she got converted a few years ago, they were picked up by the minibus at 10:15 in the morning. It was communion that morning. The minibus dropped them off again at 2:45, so they had a good lengthy time. But you'll not be doing that, I can assure you about that. I want to draw your attention to this passage of Scripture. It's so informative. I want to leave it with you. The Lord Jesus Christ preeminently was a preacher. Above all else, and above everything else that he did, he was a preacher. Verse 14 reminds us of the passage. When John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, beloved, that's no different from the gospel that we're preaching today. There's only one gospel. Oh, there's many names. It's called the gospel of the kingdom of the grace of God. Paul calls it my gospel. John refers to it as the everlasting gospel. Romans tells it's the gospel of God. But it's not different gospels for different ages. It's the same gospel from Eden's garden till the very last soul is gathered into the fold and family of God. One gospel. And Christ preached that gospel. Indeed, this is what he's all about. If you look there for a moment in Luke's gospel chapter 4, you needn't turn to it if you don't want to, but let me just read it. It's not a long portion. Verses 16, 17 to 19 in chapter 4 of Luke. Listen to this. Verse 16. He came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Underline the word preach. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives," there's it again, "recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Three times in that little passage, those few verses, we're reminded of the fact that the Lord Jesus preached, didn't give a 2-minute homily or an address on the golden rule. He preached. Beloved, this is what the Christian church today is lost for. Preaching. You have all kinds of innovation. I read of one church in Belfast, a very big, charismatic kind of place it is, where in one Sabbath day, the minister, the pastor, dressed up in a big chicken suit, like, well, you know what it's like, big cockerel. He ran up and down the aisle, crowing. Now, that's as far removed from the gospel as what hell is. But that's what he did. They even had meetings where they had life-sized puppets. Now, this was not for the children's meeting, which you might understand. This was for the Sunday morning service. And they had all these puppets dancing at the front. That's not preaching. And they've set the pulpits away to the side, out of the road, not in the middle and raised up where they should be, because we want to exalt the word of God in our preaching. Now, folks, there's nobody loves singing and listening to singing more than I do. I've always loved it. Never could do it very well, but I've always loved it. But singing is not a substitute for the preaching. And that never should be the preeminent thing in a meeting, with the preaching pushed to the side. Remember this, if you remember nothing else about the meeting this morning, folks, the Lord Jesus Christ preeminently, first of all, before anything, he was a preacher. Mark chapter 1, verse 22 reminds us, they were astonished at his doctrine, at his preaching, for he taught them as one that had authority. That word authority has a sense of power, you see. There was power in what he preached, because what he preached was the truth. When a man preaches the truth, he not go far off, far away. He is the truth, you see. And he lived what he preached. You've got to live what you preach. The deliverance of the man in this passage of scripture with the unclean spirit really sets forth the power and authority and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a picture of evangelism for us. True evangelism. Notice that all that the Lord Jesus Christ did was to speak to this man. He never touched him as he did with others. You see, the truth presented clearly through the word of God. That's the theme of the whole thing, the whole passage here. And it's this, for a few moments, I just want to consider with you. First of all, please note the word that was spoken. Now, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ always spoke the truth. We read there in the Gospel by John, and I'm going to chapter 8, please. John's Gospel, chapter 8. And the verse 30, and it says this. As he spake these words, notice that. It's as he was speaking these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed in him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Here's the proof of the reality of redemption now. You continue in his word. And ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Friend, if you're in bondage to sin today, if you're in bondage to some habit that you cannot break, I want you to know this. If you know the truth and practice the truth and live the truth, the Lord will set you free. And it's this that sets the sinner free. The preacher has got to know this. When you consider the state that this man was in, there was a power that dominated him. Look at verse 23 of the chapter. There was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. It's literally a man in an unclean spirit, altogether overcome by it. I'm sure you've heard of the old statement, there's a man who's in a rage. You ever see a man in a rage? When my dad was saved, he had quite a temper at times, especially when he had drink taken. Very harmless individual generally, but man, when he had drink taken, he would have fought Muhammad Ali in the ring any day. But as I say, in Belfast, he couldn't beat the deck, and that's the truth of it. He was no fighter. But I remember one day, now he never hit us in that sense, never hit my mother, never touched her in that sense, and even in his drinking days, long before he was ever converted. But you know the wee companion sets that you've had beside your hearth at the mantelpiece in the house? Wee silver ones. I saw my father in a rage lift that wee poker and just bend it like a horseshoe. Now when he calmed down, he couldn't straighten it. But in a rage, he was able to do what he normally couldn't do. This man, dominated by the devil, was under the complete control. As a man is drunk, the alcohol controls him. He's motivated by it. He's guided by it. He's directed by it. So this dominated, devil-possessed man was the same. The spiritual condition of all men. Is that not the truth? In the book of Colossians, and I'm going to chapter 1. Just to read one verse, it's verse 13. It says, who hath delivered us, listen to it, from the power of darkness. If you're not saved, that's where you're at, my friend, but darkness. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's what Christ's truth and Christ's preaching and Christ's gospel could do for the sinner. And we're all here in our natural state. The power that dominated him, the pollution that defiled him. Verse 23 reminds us of this. He had an unclean spirit. Now in the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, and verse 33, we read this. In the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. Now, every devil is unclean. But it seems to be an emphasis placed upon it here. To be called unclean as a devil really emphasizes it. You see, there's degrees of wickedness in this world. There's even degrees of wickedness among the demonic powers. Some will lead you to do more wicked things than others. But it's a pollution and it defiles you. This man was the worst type of all, I believe. He would be the most immoral man in life and speech. He's defiled, you see. But not only is there the power that dominated him and the pollution that defiled him, there's the problem that would destroy him. Sin, when it is finished as we know, bringeth forth death. Verse 23 of the chapter. He cried out. Now, I want you to notice where he was. Very important thing. He was in the synagogue. We might say he was in church. There was singing. There was preaching. There was reading. There was praying. All of it was lost in him. Folks, the devil came to church with him. Don't think that the devil arrives at Armagh, the front door, and stays outside. No, no. The devil can be in the very house of God. I remember years ago preaching in a church. Went home, got ready for bed. Might have even been in bed, I can't remember. But I got a phone call from the church I was preaching in. Or near where I was preaching in, maybe would be more near the truth. And they asked me, could I come right over to the church? They were having a problem. There was someone in the building possessed of the devil and were not controllable. In church, I saw that once or twice in our own work in Dungannon many years ago, but this was in another church. Thankfully, after much prayer and counseling and ministry, that person was delivered and was transformed. But this man with the unclean spirit, in the unclean spirit, was in the house of God, friend. Doesn't stay outside. Regardless of that, men need the truth. And we have got to preach the truth of God, irrespective of who it offends or hurts. It is required in stewards, the Bible says, that a man be found faithful. That's it. It doesn't ask for a man with a great intellect, but a man with a great heart. Faithful. Faithful to the crown rights of King Jesus, to the crown jewels of his gospel. Oh, here you have the word that was spoken. What power there is, brethren, in the word of God. Isn't it wonderful? I was telling my brother before the meeting that my wife and I were during the, wasn't a full lockdown, you were allowed to go out, but you weren't allowed to mingle about too much. To go down into Newcastle. And we drove down and as Mary went for a wee walk. I didn't. Going for wee walks is against my religious beliefs, so I stayed in the car. But she went to Dander up the promenade, and when she came back, I happened to look across, and I said to Mary, I think that's Mr. and Mrs. Cook out for a wee walk. And it was S.B. Cook. And anyway, Mary let them know that I was there and in the car, and so he came over. Being a gentleman as he is, he came over. And he looked into the car, he asked me how I was doing. You know, like myself, he has slowed down in a physical sense, but I want to tell you something. That man's mind is as sharp today as it was 50 years ago in this place. Just like a machine gun. I was telling him, oh, this whole thing, brother, I'm sick of this whole COVID, I'm sick of this restriction, and we're fearing for the next day something will happen to us. I'll never forget it. He looked into the car and smiled. He said, brother, you read Psalm 51 or 91 and trust the Lord. That's all he said. And I did that when I went home. I read Psalm 91 and I read those words, no plague shall enter thy dwelling. And just hold on to that. The word of God. Folks, it's powerful. There is something in that to grasp. The Lord Jesus Christ believed, emphatically believed in the word. And he preached it. You notice that what Jesus said to this man, it caused a reaction. Look at verse 23. We read, when he heard this, He cried out. When he heard the preaching, he cried out. And men very often do it. True preaching will always provoke and cause a reaction, a response. I hope that the preaching today and the preaching you hear every Sabbath in this house will have the same effect on you. Cause a reaction. If you're not saved, it'll cause you to react to Christ and come to Him. A man in Ballygowan Church, he's been attending it for 40 years. 40 years. Maybe some of you are like that in here. Wasn't saved. Never showed any concern. Every Sabbath evening in the meeting, listening to the gospel. Seemed to be taking it all in, but never flinched. Then very recently, he sent for the minister. He said, I need to get saved. I want to get saved. You know what happened? The power of the word of God had its effect in him. And that man came to Christ, was gloriously saved. That's what it's all about. Cause a reaction. What Jesus said created a rebellion. Look what it says, verse 24. The devils cried. It said he had an unclean spirit, but the devils cried, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? Yes, he did come to destroy the works of the devil. I know who thee thou art, the Holy One of God. Even the devil recognized Jesus. And we have got devils in our pulpits in some parts of the world who don't even recognize this. They don't acknowledge this. They won't accept that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Pour scorn on this idea. Mock his deity. Hate him. But the devil rebelled against these words of Jesus. Let us alone. Literally means go away. Go away. We will not have this man. That's their theme. We will not have this man to rule over us, beloved. They don't want him. He disregards Christ. And then, of course, he disdains Christ. See what he calls him? Jesus of Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nazareth. Even to this very day, you could describe it. Well, if you were being very coarse about it, you could describe it. It's a dump. And so's Bethlehem, by the way, along with it. And you, those of you that have been there, you'll know that. It's not much of a town. It was disdained in the days of Jesus. Nobody thought very highly of Nazareth. There's contempt here, as there always is in the devil, the most contemptuous of all creation. He disdains Christ. He disregards Christ. And he dreads Christ. You see, beloved, art thou come to destroy us? They knew that this man before them had the power to destroy them. And he has come, the Bible says, to destroy the works of the devil. And one day, of course, we'll put him in that lake of fire from whence there's no escape. All sinners, in their hearts, they know rightly. And they dread the Savior. They fear his gospel. You see, people have this idea, many in our own land, and I have met some of them. I'm sure you have. And they think that Christ will make them sad. The gospel will take away their joy. When folks, the reality is and the truth is, there's no real joy that's not found in Jesus. Oh, there's life. For a look at the crucified one today. life at this moment for thee. Look, sinner, look and be saved. There's life in him. You'll never know till you taste. May have told you before about a big feed we went for once in America, way up in the hills of Ohio. And this dear lady had made this wonderful feast for us. Now, in the States at that time, those of you who are old enough to remember the controversy here with the angel dust. Remember that? When they still used it in the States. And boy, did it make an improvement in the beef. And what they did, they brought out, this lady brought out a big tray, as big as this pulpit fall here. Just full of steak. All steaks. And then she brought out another platter. It was full of chicken. And we were starving. We hadn't had anything since breakfast, but we had done a meeting, and now we were at the home to have our meal or dinner. And she brought it all out, and we were all just looking at it, you know. Folks, you could smell it. We all knew that that steak and that chicken was worth having. And some of us, and in those days, me in particular, I was anxious to get at it. And was saying to myself, would somebody hurry up and say grace? And somebody did. And then we had this steak. And you know something? I knew to look at it, it was good. I knew to smell it, it was lovely. But not until I tasted it did I really get the benefit of it all. Now the Bible says in the Psalms, taste and see that the Lord is good. You may know about him, you may know of him. You hear about him often enough, especially if you come here in constant church membership and attendance. You know all about Jesus. You know who he is, what he is, how he was born, how he made the world and everything about him. But friend, I want to tell you something. You'll never know how great he is until you lay hold upon him. Will you do that? Will you taste and see that he is good? Will the word bring you to that place? I trust so. Let me finish with this final thought. The word that was spoken, the wonder that was seen, and then there was the work that was sovereign. Verses 25 and 6. Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried, he came out of him. He couldn't stay in him now. You see why? The word of God. It's more powerful than anything else in existence. This word, beloved, it's quick. It's living. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And only God can do it. You know, this half-baked notion that man has some part in his own salvation. I have great respect for all preachers of the gospel. I'm afraid a lot of them haven't grasped a great truth. Jonah grasped it in the belly of the fish. Salvation is of the Lord. There's no Arminian doctrine in this gospel of redeeming grace, beloved. None. It's all God from start to finish. All man has to do is taste on what's already provided. And in order to taste, the Lord must call because we're dead as sinners in trespasses and sin. This work of redemption, beloved, is a sovereign work that God can do. But the responsibility to believe is upon the sinner. Do you believe today? Is your heart in tune with the heart of God? Will you not come to Christ? Learn of the great power and authority that there is in God's precious word. Oh, I trust you will. May God help you too, for his name's sake. We've kept to the time. We'll sing a hymn in closing, please, if we may. In our own hymn book, it's 224. Have you been to Jesus? What a question to finish with. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? We'll stand together, please, as we sing this final hymn. Thank you. Father, we thank thee for the service today, for the folk that gathered. We ask that you'll write your truth on every heart. Grant, Lord, that if there's anyone among us not right with God, not ready to go, speak to their hearts even yet. Lord, grant that we'll be able to return this evening for the gospel service, that we can rejoice together in the good news of saving grace. Separate us now with thy blessing. Father, keep your hand upon us for good. Bring us all home in safety. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.